Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip. I know there is something new.
Yes.
And I know you are going to explain it right now. You can hardly wait.
I am excited. You can see the excitement on my face.
I can.
So I am going for jury duty for the first time ever. I'm so excited. I'll tell you right now, I'm 39 years old, and my entire life I've never been called for jury duty. I vote all the time. I have a driver's license. I think those are, it's kind of part of how they choose them. And I've been so disappointed. They'll complain that they get called all the time, and I'm so jealous. So
what are you being called? Because I thought things were slowing down because of the COVID situation, but...
That's a good question. So it's for Milwaukee County, but I have to show up. So first of all, it's not been called off as far as I know. But yeah, with maybe a little bit of a slowdown in some of the things, I'm a little disappointed that perhaps I won't get on. And, you know, others have said, too, that sometimes priests are not usually the first chosen. But you pointed out, too, you and I now are both canon lawyers. And if that's known, I might not come on.
That could be an issue. And actually, in the history of canon law, we have a whole tension whether or not priests should be subjected to this kind of civil obligations. And I mean in medieval ages, no one doubts.
Right.
Now that we are supposed to show up, yeah.
So I'm excited. I hope it's a really interesting case and I don't get kicked off.
Don't tell them you're a canon lawyer. My thing is that this Sunday is the 17th anniversary of my ordination.
All right.
Which is 16 and a half more than I ever thought I would be a priest. So I'm happy.
Happy anniversary to
you.
A few days in advance, thanks to a priesthood on behalf of all those you minister to as well. Thank you.
As you know, I don't take many things very seriously, but my priesthood I do. Hopefully you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very glad that I got there.
And really a wonderful gospel. I know we have enthusiasm about all the gospels, but especially this one. Wonderful gospel, I think, to preach on and to read at your on your anniversary.
Yes, we are reading the gospel that is the one we read for the Feast of the Ascension. A reminder that we always say this, that as it happens with Corpus Christi, actually, in most places in the world, the feast has been transferred to Sunday, but it traditionally was on Thursday, and that's where the origin of the Novena comes. It's 9 days before Pentecost that we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, but only because we want to have more people in Mass and to celebrate it, which is actually not the case yet in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, but normally it would be. That's why we would celebrate this on a Sunday.
So if you're listening in other places, certain parts in the United States, we have listeners internationally as well. This might be the seventh Sunday of Easter coming up, and tomorrow you'd be celebrating the Ascension. But in most dioceses, including in Milwaukee, where we're located, it's been transferred to Sunday. So, and that replaces the seventh Sunday of Easter readings.
It's very interesting because I will make the comment that we have two accounts of the Ascension because it's Easter and we read the first reading from Acts of the Apostles. But the gospel for Mass is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age."
I propose that from now on, we don't call it the Ascension, we call it the Mission Sunday.
Mm-hmm,
and not Mission Sunday, but the Mission Sunday.
Right.
This is the day that we read in church the Great Command. No, how do we call this? The Great Commission?
Great Commission.
And I think in theological, pastoral circles, we all speak about the mission and the mission to be disciples. But I would say that this is pretty recent.
I'm going to guess here, maybe the last 10, more so, I'd say 5 years, there really has been a very, within the Catholic Church, a very beautiful return, and this includes here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, but a return to focusing here on this, to Jesus' last words to the Great Commission of saying, of all the things that we do, it's really encompassed here in these words of Jesus. All of Jesus' words obviously are very important, but you know, anyone who is kind of providing their last words, and that's what's happening here in a kind of face-to-face sense with the disciples, these last words are so important and really so important to pay attention to. What inspires me about this Great Commission is how simple it is. It's very direct and it's very simple.
Make disciples.
Yeah. Go and make disciples, baptize with the same formula that we use today. But yeah, it's all about mission and constantly being on mission. So going back even a little further than the last 5 or 10 years, but we will look to Pope St. Paul VI in the 1960s, really began to speak very passionately and very concretely about evangelization. And then Pope John Paul II spoke of what he called the new evangelization. But, you know, through all of this, it's this reminder and change in focus to say mission is not just to those in foreign places, you know, who have never met Jesus Christ, but, you know, it's the new mission of those perhaps who've been baptized or exposed to a Christian environment, but really haven't been practicing that. And I would say that a summary of kind of where we're at as a church now to say we're always on mission, you know, and we do it really in our home places. We don't have to be looking to foreign places.
I would say that Pope Francis also, when he, at the very beginning of his paper, he reminded priests that you have to smell like sheep, you have to be on a mission, that there was a mission of the church. I agree.
I point them out because as Paul VI wrote, really a beautiful encyclical on evangelization, which still to this day is kind of the fundamental understanding of evangelization for the church. It was done so well. But John Paul II used this term new evangelization. That's why I bring that up, mm-hmm. which is kind of new novel at that point to say, hey, it's not just those that we don't know. It's those whom we know who we need to evangelize to. But it's focusing here on this Great Commission.
I think for the new evangelization, this sentence, go to all the nations, means go to every situation that you find, wherever you are, in any situation you find, and I agree with you. I thought there is a sentence there that I thought you were going to say something about. The worship, they worship, but they doubt it.
Sure.
I think that's one of the things that you normally go back to.
It's an interesting point that Matthew has to make, you know, and it's there for a reason and worth some thought. I mean, my take on that is great. It's what we know about the disciples and that they're not perfect individuals, and nor are we. You know, our worship isn't going to be perfect. Our belief isn't going to be perfect. And that shouldn't be a hindrance not to do it. Rather, we go, as we've said before, it's one of these kind of phrases in business, you know, do what's great. It doesn't have to be perfect. If you're looking for perfection, you're not gonna move, but you know, do what's great.
I think if I die before you, I'll make sure that they write this in your
the tombstone.
Yes. I've heard you saying many times, like, don't wait for everything to be ready for you.
Right,
to do
don't wait for the perfect moment, because it doesn't exist. Here's a reminder of that here with Jesus at this very monumental moment as he is about to leave their presence in a physical sense here on earth to ascend into heaven. Even they are in this situation here of worshiping but doubting.
What we said at the beginning also, we have like two Gospels this time. The first reading is amazing, to read the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, how Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and then gives a mission and promises the Holy Spirit will be there to help the disciples, and how this worship but doubt there they don't get it. They're still a little after so long, and after even coming back from the dead, I mean, what else do you need, that they're still asking about the restoration of Israel?
I don't know of many other situations in the liturgical year. I might be missing something where really that first reading and the gospel are actually, they're recounting the exact same event. Mm-hmm. There's not just a connection maybe theologically, but really are recounting the same event. And you've got to remember that on Ascension.
Pentecost would be another.
Pentecost is another one. You can get a fuller context, a different witness from the first reading. And many, and I've done this as well, are really preach more, a little bit more focused on Acts of the Apostles, perhaps.
Because Acts of the Apostles is Luke, and he's a little bit more, we know that it's the most elaborate of the Gospels.
Right.
So we are preparing for the Ascension, is the feast the week before Pentecost. Pentecost will be especially interesting this year. We are going back to church in a limited capacity, maybe.
In Milwaukee, at least. In other dioceses,
in the diocese of Milwaukee, yeah. Are you going to celebrate public masses that weekend?
Yeah, we are. We're starting to, again, with significant restrictions and encouraging people to perhaps consider not coming, you know, which is an odd thing to do, but, you know, to consider waiting a little bit due to health or age issues, capacity issues. So, yeah, in a real restricted sort of way. But I'm eager to see people and to see them maybe a few pounds heavier with their true hair colors out.
Speaking of a few pounds heavier, that's funny. You reminded me, you know, it's my ordination anniversary this Sunday, and it was Father Dan Pakenham, the late Father
wonderful,
Dan Pakenham, that
man.
Used to say that only 2/3 of him had been ordained. And that's how I feel, that only 2/3 of me were ordained.
I think
there's
a lot
1/3 that I have added
I think a lot
in
of
these
us,
17 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have some regrets about some things, and that's, I'm thinking that common among others, myself as well.
It will be this and next week, of course, great weekends, great celebrations in the church, and this sense that we all are, I think we all have made a realization how important faith is in our lives, how important it is. And I hope this means a new Pentecost, as the Archbishop has been saying.
I hope so as well. I hope that, you know, it's, of course, this is not over, but I hope it's been a time for us as individuals, as parishes, as a church to maybe in a forced sort of way, but really to use this as a time to realize what's most important as it concerns relationships and as it concerns the mission. So the mission, you know, the core mission of the church, this is a good opportunity for all of us maybe to become a little bit more focused in on that, to strip away those things which are good, but may distract from really the core of what Jesus has told us to do, which is right here.
Good. I think we have a lot of stuff.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited. Excited about this celebration, excited for this gospel, for us in Milwaukee. It'll still be, without an assembly, but just a very beautiful gospel and worth a lot of prayer, along with Acts of the Apostles. So how about we get together next week? I hope to have a story about jury duty. It might not be interesting. Maybe I get kicked off right away. So.
Don't tell them you're a canon lawyer.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
And see you next week, Philip.
Take care.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic, and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.